Well, I'm so glad that you, I'm so glad you're here from Australia, from the land down under. See, I had to dress for the occasion. I have so many Aussies. You know, I even have my Australian cup here, my Starbucks. Yes. I'm a Starbucks, yes, and I'm an investor in Starbucks. We're going to drink on the edge today, okay? But I am a Starbucks shareholder, and everywhere I go around the world, I have to get a cup. And one of the places that I loved was Australia. And I'm so glad, Deanna Rosheim?
Yep.
Rosheim, that you're here with me. You are going to have a riveting conversation. And Brains, we're going to talk about some very, very emotional stuff. So get ready. I want to see what they're doing down there in Australia. We're going to talk about trauma. We're going to talk about the pandemic. We're going to talk about this fantastic, amazing group that I stumbled up on, the Healing Ground Collective. You're going to want to tune into that. And where Deanna is one of the founding members, Brains, okay? Her and Prue Blackmore. Her show went through the roof, and this was going to go through the roof. But we're also going to talk about something that's touching everyone's heart. Racism, white privilege, mm-hmm. and the overlooked and underserved Indigenous people. Mm-hmm. The Aborigines people. Those were some of the original people on the planet, Brains, and they're treating them like sloppy seconds. And I just want to find out, and I'm going to ask Deanna some tough questions. You know, about her perspective and what they're doing, because it's not right. Okay, folks, you let people come in and come over to visit and they just take over. Would you like that? Would you like somebody to come to your house and just take over? We're gonna talk about that. So welcome On the Edge with me and my Brains, Deanna. I think that you are awesome sauce. I can't wait. I've been waiting for this conversation for a while.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, April. And hello, Brains. It's really lovely to be part of your beautiful community. It's very, very exciting to be here today.
Well, it's great. You know, we have to work out that time zone because she's on the other side of the world. Okay. Yeah. A little bit about you and all the amazing things that you do. You are one heck of a woman.
I've been doing a few things over the years. So I've been in the human services sector for approximately 20 years. I started out as a youth worker, actually. So working in residential care, young people who have left home or are not able to live at home. And so living, I guess we call them in Australia, we call them, the old school language was wards of the state, or guardianship of the minister is known now. So GOM. So everybody and everything gets an acronym, which is a bit degrading. That's where I started out. And that kind of led me into, training and training others in the work. And I was always interested in that and drawn towards that. So I guess I've been in adult education and the human services sector, and delivering training and designing training. So we're talking about things like trauma-informed practice, working with people with complex needs, understanding mental health issues, understanding homelessness, understanding domestic violence, how to respond effectively to people who are turning up in crisis. I've trained in a registered training organisation. So in Australia, we have what's called the VET sector, vocational education and training. So I've trained the certificate 3 in community services, the certificate 4 in youth work, the diploma in community services, diploma in counselling, all of these kinds of things that are in Australia, we put them into the human services sector. So I've been working in that space for quite a few years now. And what's happened over the last couple of years, I'm thinking to myself, well, I've got a lot of skills.
Yes.
And I think I should probably start my own business because I've been working hard for others and I've been developing some innovative programs. Some of them have won awards and been acknowledged and utilized around Australia. And if I put energy into myself and my own business, I could probably do all right. So I started the Healing Ground Collective, and it started as an idea, which has now manifested into its own social network, member-only social network site, an online learning platform, and we're launching the website next Friday on the 30th of October.
Well, I'm going to be there for the launch. I have to stay up, you know, to God knows when to get into the meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation will take you to a different place. So let's take this bit by bit. You've worked with the underserved and overlooked, be it domestic violence or at-risk youth or Indigenous people.
Yes.
When you look at this with a broad base, do you really find that, like here, that there's a segment of the population that are minorities that fall more into those challenging areas? Or do you find that it's mostly, I shouldn't say mostly, do you find that it's a lot of white people? Or do you find that it's mostly minorities?
That's a very good question. I would say there's pockets of the community where, of course, well, in Australia, all of the statistics show across all the domains, whether it be health, financial, literacy, education, our First Nations people are the most disadvantaged in Australia. They're the most vulnerable group in Australia. And that's been, the statistics have shown that for many years. And I guess we're going to get to talking about why that continues to be the case. And, you know, this country is only 200, white Australia is 250 years young. This land and the wisdom that exists within this continent is 60, 80,000 years plus. Mm-hmm. And there's a wisdom that sits here in this country that is denied, which is ignored. And hence, you know, people have been, you know, pushed to the side and tried, and the white model of doing things is forced upon a group of people, groups of people, and that just doesn't work for so many people. We've also, we being a colonized country, we have lots of migrants have come to live here. So, you know, a large, and for all different reasons, and mostly out of, you know, historically labor, like the government needing labor. So originally a whole pile of people from China came with the gold rush, mm-hmm. and a large Chinese population here. We had the Vietnam War in the 70s, and those people came here as refugees. We had Greek and Italians came out in the 30s, 50s, and 60s, and they came here to build communities. But it's always at a decision by the government, which is a group of, dare we say, white men in blue suits. They make the decisions about who enters this country and why and how.
You know, and I want to try to figure that out. Why in the world do, and I say this to all my white people, you know I love you white people too. Why are you so aggressive as a culture? Why do you just come and take over and think that you own everything? You're not the Indigenous people. Here in the United States, we invite the white people from England to come over and have Thanksgiving dinner, and it ended up being Thanks-taken. Okay? The Native Americans were slaughtered and killed everywhere they colonized. It is not about acculturation where one culture comes in and tries to blend in. It's about assimilation, that you will do what we tell you to do, and then it ends up assassination. And this is not just Australia or America, this is all over the world. Anyone with a darker hue, skin color, is considered a threat. They're intimidated. And it's just, I don't know how we're going to do any better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the issues for generally speaking, Western white populations, is there is a complete and utter denial of our violent, violent history. Because everywhere that white people have gone, and it started kind of out of England and Europe,
mm-hmm.
and I remember one evening, about 2 or 3 years ago, someone sent me a link to the history of colonization and slavery in the world, and I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a 3-hour read, and I just sat and I read like this document, which was amazing because it went right back to the beginning of how, you know, this globe has been dominated by, you know, a small group of people who went around the world taking, raping, pillaging. And the thing about Australia, if I bring it back to Australia, is that they've done it so many times before, right? So they knew exactly what they were doing. It wasn't an accident that when they arrived that they said, terra nullius, this land is terra nullius. It belongs to no one. There's nothing going on here. It belongs to no one. They had already gone around the world, America being, they'd done a similar thing, and many other places around the world, and dominated the indigenous people. So they knew exactly what they were doing by the time they came to Australia, because we were one of really the last places that they tried it on.
Wow. I was so heartbroken when I came to visit Australia. Oh, I was so excited, and I was on that Quantum Airlines, and I was treated like a princess. And I get there, and you know, you have the little screen on top of the headrest, and it goes over, is it Transylvania?
Over the ocean.
Over the ocean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started looking it up and Googling it. That is where a lot of the indigenous people have been moved to, this remote island that, okay, there's no getting away from. Food resources. And so I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe this is, you know, just a part of the culture. And then I get to Sydney and I go on the pier, and the first thing I am wanting to do is immerse myself in the culture. I see the Aboriginous people, like a doggone carnival show, on the pier, didgeridoos, face painted, and it's three or four of them, and everyone's giving them just pence in a bucket. But I never, the whole time I was there, and I went to Melbourne too, I never really grasped the true roots, the true essence. I mean, I hear that the Aborigines have an extra chromosome. They are, again, some of the very first beings on the planet. Their face are very chiseled. Their skin is very dark. They're very wise. They're very smart when it comes to healing and medicinal purposes. But alcoholism, drugs, which were brought into them, you know, by foreigners to subdue them and suppress them. What's going on with the culture? Is there a strong cultural base for the Aborigines people? Do they even care about their own survival?
Oh, very, very much so, very much so. And I can only talk from my own perspective, and I will only ever do that. As a white person looking on, I can try to educate myself. But there's many, many things that I don't know and that I'll never know about Indigenous culture, and that is perfectly fine. The culture is very strong, and I just want to go back and say something that there was. Can we pause? Sorry, there's so much noise going on. Are you getting the noise?
Yeah,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Yeah, no, we can. Yeah, that's,
yeah. Okay. I was going to put my earphones in because this. I'm in the lounge room. I'm sorry, and there's a lot of noise going on. Are you hearing it?
Just a little bit, but you just do you. Don't even worry about that.
Can you edit this part out?
I can. That's why I record, because I don't do the live.
I'm gonna put my headphones in.
Okay.
Sorry, darling. Okay. Now I'm hoping this works. Right, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and then we'll come back. Oh. I'll count down to five.
Yeah, that's heaps better for me. Yep. Okay, great.
But I can hear. You're okay. Wait. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, that's a great question, April. Look, and I can only ever talk from my own experience. I do know that the culture is very strong here, and it's what has seen I was going to use the word flourishing. Now, there would be some people who would say there are parts of Aboriginal culture that are not flourishing, or communities, I should say, because there's been so much degradation. But I want to take you back to something that happened since the arrival of white people. And there has been a campaign, and I would say it's a campaign to eradicate, to commit genocide against Aboriginal people in this country. And so what with that has become many messages that which have been subliminal or absolutely blatant around Aboriginal
Aboriginal people being less intelligent, and of recent years, alcoholics, lazy, all of these things that I think are similar, happen similarly in the United States to the Indigenous people there. So there's been a campaign, and I remember very, very clearly when I was a child seeing on the news that, oh, it's okay, Aboriginal people will just die out. They'll just breed themselves out. There was this belief that they would, and that hasn't happened. And the population is only 2 to 3% here in Australia. They're only 2 to 3% of the population, but it's increasing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's more cotton-picking kangaroos there than it is, you know.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. But, again, this too will pass and shall pass. So let's move forward to some of the work that you do with domestic violence and at-risk youth, you know, totality. That was another thing that I was shocked about, was that a lot of bullying occurs with adults and with children. Why is there so much aggression, do you think, among just people, not just Australians, but in this time of influx, in this time of fear, in this time of pain, in this time of COVID-19? Why are people so angry?
Yeah. Well, I'm reminded of a good friend of mine, and he's a mentor to me. His name is Dr. Trail Dowie, and he has threads to the States, actually. He's friends with Dr. Cornel West.
Oh, and you know Cornell's my dude.
Love Cornell. So I'm reminded of Trail because I've had the pleasure and privilege to be tutored by him in transpersonal counselling and transpersonal art therapy when I was at Icon Institute. And he would say that the life that we are born into, the structures that are happening right now, the modern life of capitalism and being forced into a working life, it is a violent life. We live a violent life. We're actually born into it. And when your freedoms are taken away, so at the moment, this year has been a year of reflecting on this, actually. Prior to COVID, a lot of people were living the dream and wanting to live the dream, and we've always, you know, kind of strove for having more, climbing the ladder, all of these things. Now, these are ideas that have been fed to us and forced to us. These are not creative ideas. These are not original ideas. These are ideas to keep us in the hamster wheel. It is an absolute, again, I go back to Trail, who taught me the term, a hyper-reality, right? Yeah, it is not a real life. It is a thin version of a real life, because nothing is coming from you. When you go to work in a job that you don't like, you have no sense of why you're there. How can you be creative? How can you use your God-given talents in a job that you do not like, that pays you absolutely pittance, that does not acknowledge you as a human being, that just puts you in a cog in a wheel, and you're deduced to your hourly rate, you know, which in some jobs and some countries is so demeaning. You know, I believe this is one of the reasons why that so much tension and conflict and ultimately violence. I mean, look what's happening in the protests around the world. This is a statement.
It is a statement. But you know what? It seems like it's hitting on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Because they still want to remain in control. But it's beyond your control, brains, okay? God, the universe, source, and spirit has put the perfect pause. Put the brakes on this whole thing. It's time that the entire world, you know, I don't care how pretty you are, how much money you have, how white your skin is, how dark your skin is, you have to stop and surrender to this situation right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I had a great, great conversation with Prue, and we talked about this. And you're a part of the Healing Ground Collective.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me dial back a little bit.
Tell me
who is the Healing Ground Collective.
Mm. Okay, well, it's a group. It's a group of people. It's a collective. The original idea came to me because I have spent, you know, a large part of my life surrounded by, you know, amazing people, and I've been able to deal with my own shit, dare I say, because I'm well-resourced, because I live a privileged life, I'm educated, I've always been employed, and that is an absolute privilege in this modern world. I've never really had to think about, you know, where my next meal is coming from. All of these things mean that if I want to go and see a therapist and pay $150, then I can go and see a therapist. If I want to go and have a massage, you know, once a month, I can go and do that, right? Now, so I've ended up, you know, being in a community of, I would say, well-resourced people. And I thought, well, how are we ever going to change things if the well-resourced people are just servicing the well-resourced people?
Right.
You know, we're part of the problem as well.
Right. I get you.
You know?
I get you.
So the Healing Ground Collective, yep, sorry, the Healing Ground Collective, one of the a major role is to use some of the profits that we make and give back. Give back to people in need, give back to communities in need, make a demonstration, demonstrate that we're walking the talk. Because right. What's the point of being a healer or a light worker or, you know, a therapist if you're not able to reach the people who are most vulnerable? So this was my original idea for the Healing Ground Collective. Well, and also to promote the people that I know do amazing work in this field. So the Healing Ground Collective website, which we're launching next Friday, has a practitioner listing. So if you want to find a good massage therapist, you can go to the listing. And I hope that that this becomes a global listing and not just practitioners from Adelaide, because now that we've got the online space, you know, we can do and that we understand that timelines are collapsing and we're entering the 5D world, we can do healings online now. So, you know, which people have been doing for a long time, actually.
Great segue into my next question. Mm. Because you do more than just support other individuals, and the light work and the meditation and the teaching and the collective of minds that are in the Healing Ground Collective is amazing. Mm-hmm. And Australia, I noticed, and I was talking to some other people that I've interviewed there, you don't talk a lot about Buddhism, Christianity, or, you know, Judaism, anything like that. You talk about light work. You talk about energy. You talk about feels. You talk about astrology. You take it to a whole different level. You take it to a whole different space. And I'm wondering, again, because you are in one of the most powerful vortexes in the world, it really hurts me to see that that is not shifted over to the Indigenous people. There's so much to learn there. And I was talking to one young woman that does light work there, and she says, well, I'm a shifter, but my gift is to rewrite the code. And she's there in South Australia as well. Doesn't know anyone that's not white. And I said, if you are given a gift to rewrite, like you don't know the whole story. You're going to rewrite the same story.
Yes.
How do people open themselves up? How do they open their minds up to being warm and to being receptive and wanting to learn about other cultures, other people's pain, other people's joy? Their food, their family, their history. How do we begin that in this new age? Because again, we're going through 5D. We are going through a vortex. This is not your regular old cold or flu season. The whole world is being affected by this.
Again, a great question. And when it comes to Australia and Australians, I've contemplated this question for myself many, many times. It does start with education, I believe. There is, and to think about and to honour another amazing woman I worked with at the NGO that I worked at for a long time. Her name is Claire. She believes that there exists a cultural wound in Australia. And the cultural wound is the issue of admitting what we have not done for our First Nations people and the process of genocide and degradation that continues to occur. And so the impacts of colonisation, they're not in the past, they're in the present and they're ongoing. And I'm jumping around a little bit, but you mentioned, we're in the 5D. And I was listening to someone the other day, and I'm really with this person. Oh, Dr. Bavery, the astrologist that lives in Singapore. Yes, she's an amazing social justice woman, and she was talking about, and she was saying, if you think that you are the most ascended spiritual person and you're just rising above and you're not seeing the injustices in the world, and you just think we can skip over there and not deal with the things that are actually happening in reality for the most vulnerable people, then you're missing the point about spirituality. You can't just sit up there in your high and mighty space and go, let's all ascend to the 5D space and bring on unity consciousness. I want unity consciousness, of course I do, but I also have a friend in my life who rings me and says, I have no money for food. And so that's her life. Now unity consciousness doesn't change that.
Right.
there's a practicality that needs to be here. And we're talking about redistribution of wealth. That's now, right. you may or may not have heard about Rio Tinto, largest, a mining magnate, people in the world. They exploded, bombed, what is the word I'm looking for, blew up a traditional burial site, a traditional site. It's gone to court now and there's been an apology. The CEO has stood down, but they've damaged a 1,000-year-old traditional site in this beautiful land. And there was no consultation or perhaps there was consultation and it was ignored, but this is the story that goes over and over and over again. So one thing that I have been quite cognizant of around Australia, about Australia and Australians, is that it's been a very successful PR company, PR exercise, and it's been a sales job. So there's this, we had Paul Hogan and the shrimp on the Barbie, and you see this happy, shiny, version of Australia. Everyone's in bikinis and everyone's at the beach, everyone's having a drink and having a good time, so there's this image that's been portrayed to the world. Meanwhile, you have remote communities where people, and they're like, you would call them reservations, that's the same thing, where those communities didn't exist prior to colonisation. There were people, sure, there were family groups living together, but the communities were created for the benefit of white men. Push them all together, so that we can perhaps, know what you're up to, or we need you to do that. Or actually, no, we need you to move off all of that land because we want to put sheep on it, we want to put cattle on it or whatever. That's just been the story that's happened. Now, you look at what's happened with the bushfires here in Australia. You look at what's happened with the soil degradation and all of the things, all the environmental things that are happening. That's because this land, which is mostly desert, has been utilised in a way that is not sustainable. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, they knew that. They weren't agriculturalists in that massive scale way or bring the hoof, animals with hoofs, mm-hmm. have damaged the desert. Mm. because it's not right. It's not the right original animal that's meant to be here, you know. I imagine the same thing has happened in the United States, actually, you know, to a large degree. I mean, we're food shortage, and what we're going to do in the future is going to be a massive challenge for all of us around the world, you know, because we're going to realize that we cannot continue to do the things that we've been doing, you know.
No.
So
I just had a wonderful interview the other day. I don't want to release it because it hasn't been released yet, but it is an environmental engineer, and we talked about fracking, you know, and the water and the resources. I travel around the world. There's so many places that don't recycle. You know, they're still burning. So the carbon emissions, what is going on? Well, you know, in my book called the Bible, there's a chapter called Revelations, and it is all coming to pass. And I never thought, you know, I never thought that I'd be here to see it. I thought, oh my goodness, I'd be up there in glory, you know, walking down streets of gold. But that's not the case. I'm actually living this, and I'm going through this. And for some reason, I'm concerned, but I'm not scared.
No, same here.
What I should be, you know, I tell people all the time, what we should be is not so mournful for the people that have left us, but the people that are here that are left behind and what we have yet to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, here we've got 12 days for the election of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to go into that because that's so much nonsense and trickery. It's unbelievable. Yeah. But it's not one individual. It's about the sycophants that follow. And, you know, people are not leaders anymore. I notice that people go along to get along. You know, they think that they're ahead of the game. They think that they're quick and slick. They think that they're going to get over. But you know what, brains? It catches up with you, baby. It catches up with you. My mama always said, you can run, but you can't hide. And anything you do in the dark will come to light. And light is shining on us. And we're shining through this prism. Tell me the work that you do with Healing Ground Collective and consciousness of bringing people awareness and bringing them and preparing them for what is to lie ahead.
Well, a lot of that work is done by Prue, who has been on this show, and she's been in this space of helping people expand their consciousness for many years. And I would say where we're going, the people that are moving to the 5D or the people that are awakening, it's about accountability and it's about responsibility and self-responsibility and owning your own stuff, you know. And this is what collectively Australia must do when it comes to our First Nations people. We said sorry for the stolen generations. I don't know if Kevin Rudd made an apology to the stolen generations, which are all of the people, all the people that took, you know, there was a government policy that took children away from their parents. You know, that was a strategy.
That sounds like the children that are left in cages here, the 545, and that's just that we know of. Here in the United
States,
right here at the border at Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you separate the kids from their parents?
So this was happening up until the 60s and the 70s in Australia. And so there's been, you know, a collective trauma, an intergenerational trauma. And so the Labor government at the time, I think it's 10 years ago now, maybe it's longer, he made an apology. But what we haven't done as a collective community in Australia is acknowledged and said sorry for the complete denial and degradation of a culture. And we kind of know it. We kind of know that we need to do this, but no one's willing, particularly the current government, let's not go into it, you know, that they deny, that they just keep, so that the system is you just keep handing out money and, you know, and that will be okay. But again, I'm reminded of some teachings from my old workplace where if you look at Germany, what they have done to acknowledge and I guess, attempt to repair the damage that was done through the Holocaust, even though that's probably going to take another, you know, 10 million lifetimes, who knows. They have memorials. And I think the police, all the police have to go and do some training at Auschwitz or school children or something like, everyone has to go and see these memorials, and it's embedded into education. In Australia, they are still arguing about the content of education to whether or not to put the truth in about our history. You know, we're talking 250 years ago. We all know what happened. You know, yeah. let's just get it into the history. You know, I mean, I think some places are doing it better than others. And I know my good friend works at a children's centre, and she's doing, you know, beautiful work there, age-appropriate stuff, and she wouldn't be talking about genocide, but she's teaching children language. She's starting to teach children First Nation languages and bringing that back into the space. So I never had that opportunity as someone who, you know, went to school in the early 70s. That didn't exist. I didn't learn about that. I learned the whitewashed version of Australia. Things are slowly changing.
You're born and raised in Australia.
Yeah, born and raised. Yes. And also, go on.
Let me throw something in here. You know, it's like here in America.
Mm-hmm.
Black Americans want reparation. They want mm-hmm. their 40 acres and a mule, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about going back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about moving ahead. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I see it over and over and over again. Apologies to me. My mother taught me this. My mother is 91 years old. They're empty, shallow words.
Mm.
You kill somebody. Oh, I'm sorry. Doesn't take away the pain.
Mm.
Sorry and your redemption comes by your future actions.
That's right.
It comes by your intentions. So don't give me all of this, oh, you know, we've said we're sorry. I could care less about that. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I need you to rebuild these communities. I need you to go in and provide individuals with an education. I need you to honor them where they are at this point. I need to have you bring them into social situations and talk about science, and talk about resources. That is where the apology is. That is where the I'm sorry really has some value. But to stand behind a podium or a lectern and say, I'm sorry or I apologize for what I've done, is irrelevant. They are marching in the streets. The children in America are marching in the streets. You know why? Because they don't want to be gunned down as they're trying to go to school to get an education.
That's
these
right.
teachers are marching in the street because they signed up to educate children, not stand in front of a bullet or put their life at risk because of a global pandemic. Women are subjected to domestic violence and they have no way out, have no voice. People don't believe them. They've been sexually assaulted. You know, there's a lot of work to do.
And there's a lot of work to do.
You know, and incrementally, and as we move into this 5D, I'm hoping and praying to God that we don't take some of this stuff with us because the universe is not happy.
Yeah. No, I want to pick up on a couple of things. There's a lot of work to do. Again, going back to, you know, there's a lot of people in the New Age community, and I don't want to criticize my beautiful, you know, community, but sometimes there's, you know, the unwillingness to get your hands dirty to do that work. And that somehow we can avoid it. And I you know, and maybe it's not even people from my direct community, actually. It's more about
people around the world.
There's this idea though that you can that we all should be questing to be a pop star on you know that right. those big shows. We need to rise to that. Or that somehow we need to start an online business so we can sit on the beach with our laptop and avoid, you know, do you see those ideas being presented at us all the time? All day long. It's like, if you do this, you don't have to do anything. It's like, No, we were given these hands. We were given hands to do work. And I don't mean work yourself to the bone. I don't mean work for an employer who treats you badly. I mean find what your God-given talents are and do something. Put your hands in the soil or go and volunteer somewhere or make something of yourself. But don't sit there and go, you know, I'm bored or I don't know what to do, because there is so much to do.
There's so much to do. And what people, another thing they don't realize is when you live in a place of abundance, like you and I, we're very fortunate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have an obligation to share.
Yes.
And the more
Thank you.
Give, the more that you give, the more that you have. And you know
yes.
that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I don't
yes.
plant seeds. I plant orchards. Okay. And I'm always looking for the ripe, low-hanging fruit, because it is the sweetest. It's full of the nectar. It's got the most seeds for replanting. Mm. And that's all that I'm asking my brains to do. Mm. And people in the Healing Ground Collective is to share and to expand your bandwidth. There is so much to see. Do you know that there's only 40% of Americans with a cotton picking passport? And those 40% are not even allowed to travel now. Nobody wants us. We're the bastards of the world. Where we were once the superpower, now we're the big joke, you know, with the big clown that's running. And then we've got everyone else trying to clamor inside of the clown car. And I don't understand why people are moving backwards. We are in the 21st century, still fighting with 1960 tactics.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to as a species. We're not.
We have, well, you know, yesterday I played I was playing the Bob Marley track.
Oh yeah.
And you saw it. I watched that live all the time. That's a live concert he did, I think, in Santa Barbara in 1979. And at the beginning of that video, an inspiring man comes on stage and gives a speech before Bob Marley comes on. And I do apologize that I don't remember his name, and I will get his name, because it's a very empowering speech. And, you know, I'm doing the dishes or whatever I'm doing, and I'm listening to the speech, and I'm thinking, that could be now. What he's saying about what is required for us to move forward, he could be sitting right here in 2020, because the words are resonating and he's saying the same things. We need love and peace. We need leaders who are going to, you know, lead us with integrity. And we don't, you know, we don't want this war and all this stuff. And you just go, 1979, 2020. And no joke, April, yesterday I was standing at my sink listening to that speech, and exactly those words went through my mind. We have gone backwards. But then I thought, well, I think because we're at this precipice, that you probably do need to go backwards before you go forwards. You know, that thinking about the little baby who's learning to walk, how many times do they fall over? You know, thousands, you know.
Exactly. Is that little baby in a cage? You know, I don't understand what the fear is. That's what gets me. And as we move through this, and Prue said it very clearly, the only thing that's going to get us through is love.
Yeah.
Again, in my text, that's all it talks about is love. And people talk about unconditional love. And yes, I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I do not have unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Mm-hmm. And I work towards, you know, if some trickery comes in there, you know, you beating on me or, you know, trying to shoot my kids or whatever.
Sure.
I can't love you. I can't love, because maybe I'm not mature enough to handle that. But if that's what it takes to get us through, I know what love is. Just imagine what the people that have never experienced love, that experienced tenderness, that have never experienced compassion, that have always had dysfunction in their life. You know, so my responsibility is to heighten my sense of awareness, to tune up my frequency, to work harder on loving the unlovable, you know, and looking at myself first. I can't change the world. I can't use this platform. I can't use the sound of my voice until I first work with me. That's where it starts. It starts with everybody wants to change everybody else. They will go back to that assimilation, acculturation, and it ends in assassination. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, that's what the Healing Ground is about. The Healing Ground Collective is that it starts with you. It starts with you. And then, you know, as we, if we hold hands, though, if we're all doing the work and we hold hands, and I mean that in a metaphorical sense, then we are a force to be reckoned with. If we're all doing our own work and we're all doing that authentically and we're all doing that with integrity and we're walking through those difficult spaces, you know, thinking about unconditional love and trying to come from that space is so hard, because if you think about, I guess, parenting, I mean, I'll put it out there, I don't have my own children, but I've been a child and I'm a parent and I've watched my sister parent and all of that. And as a parent, you know, you know that the love is often, you know, can be conditional, because you want your child to, you know, kind of be that way or be that way or do behave in that way, and you got to work really hard, you know, to overcome it and go, no, that's cool, you know, that's fine, I'm gonna love my child however they are, but you've got to work at it. I don't think it necessarily comes, you know,
please, and they never go away. And they never go away. They, you know, and you don't want them to. You love them. But what parents do now, and what I've noticed, is that they have enabled their child. They don't allow them to be critical thinkers. Me and my daughter, I just mess up. We had a little kerfuffle because I was trying to be controlling instead of allowing her to think through the process, to let her make her mistakes and let her come to me when she needed consultation. Because I cannot live my life vicariously through anybody or through anything. Yeah. And the same situations, you know, like you were talking about great leaders, they're still talking about Martin Luther King. I love him dearly. I remember where I was. Where are the Martin Luther Kings? I look at Barack Obama. He did his 8 years. He wants to be on the golf course. He does not want to be going up against his rival. We want a peaceful transfer of service and of democracy.
Yes, yes.
What we claim, but it's not. It's about control. And so I'm not giving up my control, okay? I'm not giving it up. I'm a critical thinker, I'm thoughtful, and I'm honest. You know, if there's something that I don't know, I ask questions. I want to open myself up to new awarenesses. I want to open myself up to the next phase of what we know, quote unquote, as life. Because this is it. This is just the test ground to see if you're worthy to get to the next place. The next place we're going to, they're not talking about this nonsense. They're talking about something else. Let me ask you something just real way out, because this has been a real heavy conversation. You live in Australia. Do you believe in alternative lives on other planets?
Oh, wow. On other planets. I guess there has to be. We can't be the only living.
The Aborigines, I bet you they've seen them.
Well, you know, again, I'm not privy to that, but I guess through the meditation circle that I've been in for, I think it's close to 7 or 8 years now, I've been in this circle, which continues to morph, and it grows, and people have come and gone, and now we're you know, delivering it on the online platform, and lots of people are saying I follow a channeler, I follow Bracca Goldsmith, she channels the Palladians, and also an astrologer called Pam Gregory from the UK, and Prue Blackmore, and they are all saying, you know, there's lots of other beings here right now working for the good of the planet to move things forward. You know, we might not be able to see them, we might not necessarily be in touch with them, but they're here for the good force, and we're getting a lot of help to move through this very, very difficult phase where, as Prue would say, it's a bit like walking through treacle at the moment, you know?
But that's another thing. People, again, like their closed mind to racism and sexism and classism, their closed mind to there being alternative life forms and other places, people on other planets, because the brain is small, you know. You need a big brain and a small mind. There is so much that we don't know.
So much that we don't know. And this is, and I find it sad, and at the same time, I'm hopeful that one day, you know, so many elders here in Australia have said verbally, they have said, this culture, our culture is for everybody. This land is for everybody. They have said it. They've verbalized it, you know. It's not that, you know, of course there's many things that they have protected, rightly so, because, you know, that they've been on the brink of being, you know, killed, you know, and they don't want to give away everything to a group of people who have got guns or have treated them badly or have raped their women or taken their children, you know. So you're gonna hold stuff back, you know, absolutely, right? But they have said so many times, this land and the knowledge that exists here is for everybody. If you were born here, if you live here, it is available to you. This knowledge is available to you. And you're talking about the closed minds? People are walking around Australia thinking that this land started 250 years ago, or the only culture that exists is St. Patrick's Day for, you know, for Irish people, or, you know, the German Acknowledgement Day or whatever. Hang on, why? There is an ancient university that exists here in Australia, and I have a strong sense, and I have travelled around the world, I've been to many other places, that there is a knowledge here for the global community. I strongly believe there's a knowledge here. It hasn't come out yet in a big way that's going to create some sense of unity, and it might take a couple of generations. I don't know, but I'm hopeful that there's something that existing here in Australia with our First Nations people that is this knowledge that we're going to go, oh, right, because they know the dreaming. They were living in the dreaming. They were living in the 5D, you know. That's what the dreaming is. It's the 5D. They were already doing it thousands of years ago. You know, here we're going, oh, I want to send to the 5D. Well, hello, they're going, like, just catch up with us, would you, you know.
Well, they're not living in the dream. They're walking in the nightmare. And so
in a practical, but the dream, that they have what's called the dreaming. They talk about the dreaming. That's their
you know, that's, and it's just a dream for civility. It is I don't want to be treated special as a Black woman, okay, mm-hmm. but I want to be mm-hmm. acknowledged, okay. When I see you, I want to see your pretty brown skin, I want to see your big brown eyes, I want to see your milky skin, but I want mm-hmm. you to see my curly kinky hair and my brown mm-hmm. skin and understand what it takes to maintain that. And mm-hmm. that came from.
Yes.
We all have something very valuable to bring to the table. And mm-hmm. our table has been spread. And, you know, I really don't ever do our interviews, and I could talk to you forever. This has been absolutely riveting, and I want you to come back, you and Prue, because we've got a lot of work to do. And I think that we can do it, because we have a sensible conversation.
Yeah.
And we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
But not show up disagreeable.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's wonderful. And I just enjoyed you so much. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Deanna. You know, if you're looking for more members to join the Healing Ground Collective, because I'm there.
Sure.
One of those meditations, brains, let me tell you. It was I had to share this really quick. So I'm in the middle of the meditation. Of course, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning here, you know, for me in the U.S. And Prue was so powerful.
Yes.
That I dozed off. I thought I was asleep. And when I came back, I was still in the meditation. But when I woke up the next day, I really felt like my feet never touched the ground. I was in a euphoric place. I really mm-hmm. was. And I was a little nervous at first because, you know, I saw the ball and I saw the dragon and I'm like, okay, are these idol gods? What are we about to do here? But let me tell you, she worked her magic. So definitely take advantage of that. It is a meditation that you have never experienced before, brains. And it is, if you're mature enough to handle it, because you got to be mature enough to handle it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's Healing Ground Collective if you Google, or if you go hgcollective.com.au. The website will be up by the time this probably goes live on your channel, maybe next Friday. I'm not sure how long you take to get this sorted. But Google Healing Ground Collective.
Okay. And, you know, please go back and subscribe to my YouTube channel and all of the great things. I think that you have a lot of your videos already online, a lot of things to look forward to. Brains, you know, yeah, we came heavy, but know that we are optimists. We are internal optimists. That's why we do the work that we do, because we know there's a brighter, better future.
Okay. Yeah, and we need to do it together. We need to stick together and acknowledge ourselves. As you said, acknowledge where we've come from. That's important. Acknowledge people's stories. I'm not saying we necessarily treat each other differently, but once you understand the history, once you understand how someone has arrived in a point in time and the journey that it's taken, whether, you know, that be eons or thousands of years or several generations to get to this point here, many of us have traveled through, you know, so much shit to be here in a positive framework. Yeah.
And another thing that I just want to leave with is that, you know, don't force anything. If someone doesn't like a particular thing, allow them that space, allow them that bandwidth not to particularly like it. But you don't have to antagonize them. You don't have to hurt them. You don't have to rob or steal from them. What you can do is open your mind and try to learn from them. Because what you don't like is probably based upon ignorance about something you don't even know. Upon gossip, what someone else has said to you, or influences of a particular government, or your own personal greed, you know, because when you die, you're not taking it with you. Believe me, I've been to enough funerals to know that the funeral is for the living. It's not for the one that's dead. Okay. So again, just try to be open-minded and be the best person that you can be so that you can get to the next level. Okay. If not, you're going to be left behind all by yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So I'm so
lovely.
We're here. I love you. Thank you. Here's to you. Cheers, my sister.
Cheers.
That's right. We're going to make a difference here on the edge.
Excellent.
Bye, Brains.
Bye-bye.